Friends, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. I'd like you to look at the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation chapters 21 and 22. This morning, I want you to think with me about your glorious future as a believer in Jesus Christ, about your heavenly home. Heaven is a real place, by the way. It's not just a wonderful thought. It's very tangible, and you're going to see that in our passage of Scripture this morning. Next week, this morning, I want to talk to you about heaven and how to get there. I want you to come back next week as well, because I need to talk to you about something that Jesus talked about even more than he did about heaven, because he didn't want anybody to go there, and the place is called hell. But I want to talk to you about hell and how to avoid it next Sunday morning. These are subjects, it's easy to talk about heaven. It won't be so easy to talk about what I'm going to share with you next week, but will you pray for us that we'll share God's truth on that as well? But this morning, I want you to get excited about your glorious future. Heaven, oh my, what an amazing and wonderful place. It's the most wonderful place in all the universe. Jesus called it my Father's house. And he promised that all who have received him, he said to all of us, have you heard him say this? I go to prepare a place for you. This is a real place. And I'm not a real estate agent and yet I am. I am a real estate agent right now. I want to encourage you to make sure that you have a piece of real estate in glory. Jesus went to prepare a place, a real place, for every person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look forward to that. Let me ask a personal question right now. How many of you know for sure, without a shadow of doubt, that you have already a place reserved in heaven for you? You know that's settled. Boy, I was glad to see your hands go right up just like that. So many of you. Some of you were wrestling with that question because you do not have this morning yet that certainty. It is my prayer that before we leave in the next few minutes from this place, you will know for sure that you have a home there. I want for you to notice that the Bible, by the way, speaks of three heavens. The first heaven that we see in the Bible is what we might call the atmospheric heavens, where the birds fly in the air. There's a second heaven beyond the atmosphere, out there in the stratosphere and out beyond, which we can call the stellar heavens, where the stars are. Oh, what an amazing size that is. To describe that would take all day. God's creative genius to create all of the galaxies of the universe that stretch so far, 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 and he's named every one of those stars, the Bible says. There's a third heaven, and it's called in the Bible the third heaven, and it was mentioned by Paul himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4. He speaks about 14 years before he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, what is that referring to? That's referring to the place where God's throne is, the capital of the universe. Heaven. And I want you now to look at a little bit of the description of heaven. Many of you know that the first two chapters of the Bible speak about creation. And everything is perfect in chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Genesis. That's all good news. When you get to chapter 3, there's where the bad news comes in. Sin enters into the Garden of Eden because of the willful act of Adam and because of the deception that Eve, his wife, fell into. that Satan brought to the garden, they sinned against God, and sin entered the human race, and it touched every one of us, because all of us are related to the Adams family, aren't we? And sin is by nature. My parents didn't have to teach me how to sin. It just came naturally. And that's the bad news. The rest of the Bible is God's good news of bringing salvation to those of us, all of us who are sinners. And as you read all the way through the Old Testament, you'll see the prophecies of God saying, I'm going to send a Savior. The New Testament, we find He comes. And Jesus has come to be our Savior and Lord. And then we come to the end of the New Testament, and just as the first two chapters of the Bible have to do with creation, the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, has to do with the new creation. And I want you to see that here. Look at Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, in the book of 2 Peter, we read about how at the end of this season of history, there's going to be a great climax of the ages when everything is going to melt with a fervent heat. When I watched the CN Tower some years being built and going up, I said, someday that's going to come down. And everything's going to come down, and everything's going to melt. The whole universe is going to melt, and God's going to make a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. Aren't you looking forward to that? And so we read about it here. Look at verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, says John, who's writing this, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Well, I began to read to you something of the description of heaven. And I'd like for you to notice something more about it. I'd like you to see heaven's physical description. And I'm going to begin reading now with verse 9 and following. Listen to this. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. By the way, that's you. You're part of that. The church, believers, are all part of the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Verse 10. Now here's a description. Wouldn't you like to be caught up like John was to see this, but he tells us about it. And he, that angel, carried me away, says John, in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And the gates, on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length. And if you have notes in the bottom of your Bible, like mine does, that says about 1,400 miles or 2,200 kilometers along one wall. That's kind of a big place, isn't it? It goes on to say here, its length and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick. And that would be more than 200 feet thick. Can you imagine a wall like that? By man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of, pure gold, as pure as glass. Last week, when I was telling you about visiting King Tut's remains there in the Cairo Museum that we did a few days ago, we saw lots of gold, and he was buried with lots of gold. But look at this. Look at all the gold that is here in heaven. The city was pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And it goes to tell all of those different kinds of stones, of those 12 kinds of stones mentioned there. And verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. Can you imagine a pearl that big? And the street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. Wow! Heaven is beautiful, and heaven is big. That's what hits me as I look at this. Notice, first of all, how beautiful heaven is. The descriptions of 7 different things here. First of all, the wall. Did you see that in verse 12? Had a great and high wall with 12 gates and so on. What an amazing wall. And made of jasper, according to verse 18, which is quartz and iron oxide. It can be white, red, yellow, brown, or black. This beautiful, beautiful colors all here in this wall. And secondly, notice gates that are mentioned here in verse 12 and 13. And these gates, there are 12 of them, 3 on each of the 4 sides of this great city. And by the way, that suggests to me, and by the way, those gates never are closed. They're always open. Which suggests to me that heaven is our home, that's home base, but in that new heaven and new earth, I believe God's going to give you the privilege. He'll say to you one day, now friend, I'd like for you to go out there and praise me over on that star. Check it out. See more of my glory. I'd like you, friend, to go over there, check out that galaxy over there. Would you do that? Bring your back a report of what you see. And we'll just be overwhelmed as we enjoy the whole universe to praise God forever. But heaven is our headquarters. That's home. Gates. Notice something else. Foundations. In verse 14 and again in verse 19 and 20, we read about these foundations. There are 12 of them. And it's interesting that the names of the gates are the 12 tribes of Israel. The names of the foundations under this city are the 12 apostles. This suggests to us the redeemed of both the Old and the New Testaments, doesn't it? And it speaks to us of of God's people and how God used significantly those 12 tribes and then those 12 disciples who became the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Notice something else here. Streets, I see. Verse 21 tells us in the second part that it's made of pure gold. And finally, we'll have gold where it belongs, under our feet instead of in our hearts. You've heard of the man who, this is just a story, but it makes an interesting point, who approached heaven after he died carrying a suitcase. Here he comes. And Peter said, "What have you got in that? You can't bring anything in here." He says, "Oh, I've got to bring this with me." Well, Peter said, "Okay, open it up." And it was just full of gold. He says, "Huh, you brought pavement." But you know, gold is going to be in its proper place when we get to heaven. Something else we see here is there's a river. Chapter 22, look at verse 1. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the street of the great city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month," and so on. Wow, what a place. This beautiful river, clear river. We're dealing with pure water. That's what we want. Well, it's going to be pure when we get there. That amazing river that flows. There's a song that says, "That flows by the throne of God." But there's one word wrong there. It should be, "That flows from the throne of God." And I'm looking forward to taking a hike along that river, aren't you? That beautiful garden. I want you to see something else. There are trees here. And verse 2 mentions the tree of life. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. But because of sin, God said to Adam and Eve, "You cannot eat of that tree, because you have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And so they were pushed out of the garden. But there's coming a day when you and all of you who have trusted in Christ are going to have the joy of eating from the tree of life that we find in heaven. It's continual fruit in the midst of that great street, that boulevard. Can you just imagine that river flowing, and on each side of the river all lined with this wonderful tree called the tree of life? There's something else about heaven I want you to see. Not only trees, but number 7, light. We read about this in chapter 21, verse 23. It says, "There's no need of the sun or the moon." Why? Because it's the glory of the Lord that fills that place. Verse 23, "The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp." My, what a place. What a beautiful place. That's also mentioned in verses 24 and 25, this matter of the light that's there. That's really God's light himself. You see it again in chapter 22 and verse 5. "There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." What a beautiful place. Are you excited about heaven? You ought to be. But just imagine, people who are going to heaven, and I'm looking at hundreds of you here, I wonder though, in this last week, how many days did you even give one thought to heaven? And I recognize that I don't think about heaven as often as I ought to either, and I'm asking the Lord to help me to think about heaven regularly. Why? Because that's my destiny. Because that's where I'm going to spend forever with Jesus, with God the Father, with God the Son, with God the Holy Spirit. I'm looking forward to that. And God wants you to look forward to it. And that's why he ends his book, the Bible, with these last two chapters
describing to us something of the wonder of it all. Now, this is just the beginning of an understanding, because as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, neither has entered into our minds or our hearts the things that God has prepared for them who love Him. It's just so wonderful, beyond understanding today. We're just unable to understand it all. But I hope that you love thinking about heaven. And God's given us enough here in His Word to understand, boy, heaven is beautiful. Another thing is, heaven is big. Did you see that, beginning with verse 15? As the angel takes this measuring rod, and he measures heaven, and it tells us here that this city is as high and wide as it is long. And if it's about 2,200 kilometers one way, that would take you from here down to Florida. Can you imagine then going west from there, way past Texas, and then way up again to Saskatchewan, then back this way again? Boy, that's a lot of area, isn't it? And God's calling right now, and He wants you to answer to that. Make sure you're ready for heaven. This is your opportunity to make sure your reservations are there. But I want you to know that heaven is, well, it's described here, some think of it as a pyramid, which it may be. Others think of it as a cube. And if that were the case, it fits the perfections that were given by the direction of God to Moses in the Holy of Holies, which was 10 by 10 by 10 meters, a cube. Or by the Holy of Holies built by Solomon in that temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which was 20 by 20 by 20. And it was a cube. And a cube speaks of perfection. It would appear that maybe that's what's being told us here in this passage. If that were the case, I want you to think about how big heaven would be. If it is 2,200 kilometers each way, do you realize that heaven then would contain 10,648,000,000 cubic kilometers in heaven? Wow. That is more space for every square mile on the face of planet Earth. There would be 14 cubic miles in heaven. Is that stretching your mind a little bit? You think heaven is big enough for everybody? Only though the redeemed. God wants you there. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it's essential that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Heaven is big. It's square. You saw its dimensions, and there's room there for all of the redeemed. But I want you to see something else here. Not only heaven's physical description, but look with me at heaven's blessed inhabitants. Who are the people who live there? Well, the triune God lives there. Think of that. He's there. God the Father and God the Son, the Lamb of God, is spoken of here. Chapter 21, look at verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city. Why not? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And here we discover that we're going to be with God. Look at verse 23. Not only are they there, but the city, verse 23, does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb, that's Jesus, is its lamp. How amazing. And notice that they are on the throne. There is a throne there. Look at it in chapter 22, verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. the throne of God, and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. There, God the Father and God the Son, and yes, God the Holy Spirit is there as well. You'll read that in chapter 22, verse 17, where it speaks of the Holy Spirit. And the bride, which is the church, says, come. Did you realize there are two invitations coming out today? As I'm speaking, representing the bride of Christ, I'm giving you an invitation. Come to Jesus. But there's another voice that is not audible this way, but in your heart, my friend, I hope you hear him, the Holy Spirit saying, my friend, come to Jesus. Come and receive the gift of everlasting life. Those invitations are going out today, and what a privilege it is to be a messenger boy sharing that glorious truth with all of you. I want you to notice that it's not only the triune God who is there, but the holy angels are there as well. We see that in a number of places and throughout the book of Hebrews. And we discover, for instance, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, how many angels there are. It says 10,000 times 10,000, which is how many? 100 million. And then it goes on to say, and thousands of thousands, which means that time many times over again. Oh, amazing, isn't it? And you're going to see the angels there. So the Lord is there, angels are there, but something else. Redeemed people are there. Did you see that as we read chapter 22, verse 3? And it talks about his servants are going to be there, and they will serve him there. And it speaks in several places about us being there, or actually being there. Think with me about those people, the Lamb's wife. By the way, this is going to be the longest honeymoon ever. That's going to be wonderful, not only the 1,000 years, but then forever and forever with the Lord. Let me say some things about those people. They are saved people. Those who are saved, chapter 21 and verse 24. They're special people. Look at verse 27. Their names are written in the book of life. Did you hear the choir singing this morning about names being written there? 6 times you will find that in the book of Revelation, whose names are written in the book of life. Let me ask you the question, is your name written there? If you don't know that, my friend, it would be, let me just encourage you not to walk out of this place until you know for sure your name is in the Lamb's book of life. They're a secure people. We notice that by the walls and the gates and even the angels guarding at the gates. Notice also they're a scouting people. They're on the move. Chapter 21 and verse 24 says about us walking around. We're not just sitting there strumming on a harp, sitting on some cloud. That's a wrong idea. It was Gordon Sinclair years ago who now has gone to his reward, but who said, who wants to go to heaven and strum on a harp while sitting on a cloud? Well, I tell you, heaven is the least boring place in all the universe. You will not be bored in heaven. Look forward to it. What an amazing place it is. We're a scouting people. We're on the move in heaven. Not only that, we're a singing people. You'll see that back in chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. We'll sing songs like, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And we're a satisfied people. Look at this, chapter 21. We read it a moment ago. Verse 4 says, He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. We're going to be satisfied in heaven. There's water there, verse 6. Water I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of life freely. You're going to be satisfied in heaven. And not only water, but fruit, as we saw in chapter 22, verse 2, the fruit of the tree of life. And above all, our satisfaction will come by fellowship with God. Chapter 21 and verse 3, we're in fellowship.